Would you stand with us as we sing?
I can't think of a better way to start a Sunday morning than to think about the fact that Jesus is alive. I mean, there's a lot of turmoil in this world. There's a lot of things that go wrong or hard. But what we can always remember and think about is the truth that Jesus is alive. And boy, if that doesn't get you going, then no shot of coffee will do it. So let's take our bulletins. We have several announcements to go through this morning. There's a lot of good things that are coming up. First of all, we have a new Sunday school class that's starting up on February 4th, which is next Sunday. And this is a class for college and career. All right, so if you consider yourself college or career age, you're invited. It's going to meet in my office, and it will deal with millennial discussions and understanding our culture as it relates to Christ's culture. All right, so for all those who are college and career age, I want to invite you to come out to that in my office, and that's at 10 a.m. And then on March 9th and 10th, we're letting you choose if you would like to be part of the Friday or Saturday. We have a guest who's coming to dinner, and you can either be a host or a guest. And so the way that it works, you sign up at the Welcome Center, and please sign up soon. The last day to sign up for that is March 4th, I believe. That's Sunday morning. And you sign up as a host or a guest. We put together all the guests to go to different host places, and the host has no idea who's coming over. The host will tell what they will provide as the main dish, and then all the guests will bring a side dish, and we'll tell you what kind of dish to bring to go along with it. And it's a lot of fun. You'll meet somebody new, or you'll just get to know somebody a whole lot better. And so I want to encourage you to sign up for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. The time that it'll start will be dependent on the host. If they say, we want to start dinner at 6, then it'll be 6, 7, 7, you know, whatever time you choose. And you can choose a Friday night or a Saturday. Or if you don't care, you could sign up for either. But I want to encourage you to sign up for that. It's a great way to get to know some people here at 12th Street. Small groups are beginning on February 25th. And we're looking for leaders and we're looking for hosts. So if you'd like to host a small group at your house, or if you'd like to lead one, our study will be on the 11 apostles. Actually, we will do all 12, okay? But one of them, he did a bad thing. So, but we're going to study the 12 apostles. And what we're looking for in this study, and this is just to me, since I do some counseling, I'm fascinated by it. There are 12 apostles, and each one of them had a very different personality. And those 12 different personalities are what we will focus in on. And the truth is, all of them had a life before Jesus, and Jesus was the game changer who brought to them a new life. And so it's a fun study. I've been having a blast. Of course, I get a kick out of this kind of stuff. But the personalities of the 12 disciples, and you know what? All 12 of those personalities are right here in our church. And so then Jesus kept all 12 of those guys working together. And so there will be some thoughts in there of how can we, all with our 12 different kinds of personalities, how can we work together? So looking forward to that study. Sign up for small groups. The next deacon meeting is February 21st at 7:30, just so all the deacons are informed. And our next committee meetings are March 18th, following the morning service. And so committees, just mark that on your calendar so you can be there for that. We have a church potluck. We're calling it tailgating. Next Sunday is the Super Bowl. And so if you want to bring a dish to pass, there's some ideas there in there, and so you can get ready. We'll have a little bit of fun with if you're cheering for the Patriots or the Eagles. And next Sunday morning after the morning service, we will have a potluck. And then March 4th after the morning service, if you are new to the church and you would like to get to know me and my family a little bit better, we are offering pizza with the pastor. And so all you have to do is sign up and say, I'll be there. And March 4th after the morning service, we'll have pizza together in the in our multipurpose room. And then coming up on May 5th is our annual Mother, Daughter, and Friends Tea. And if you would like to host a table for that tea, ladies, then there's a sign-up sheet for you to be part of that. And then, believe it or not, we're already talking about Vacation Bible School, okay? The theme this year is Shipwrecked, Rescued by Jesus. And if you'd like to help with VBS, you can contact Brooke Camp. And then our last announcement this morning is Financial Peace Class. We are hoping to begin it next Sunday. We need four more couples to sign up. Now, The cost is $124 a couple. But if that is a problem, there have already been several people that have come forward and said, if you can't afford it, then it's paid for. It starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, so it's a little bit earlier because it takes a little bit more to go through it. And it lasts for 9 weeks, Joel. It's a 9-week class. So if you would like to be part of that, I guarantee you if you go through it, you will learn some things about finances and money that will be very beneficial to you. And it'll help you use your money not just for yourself, but also for the glory of God to learn how to do that. So if you'd like to be part of the Financial Peace class, please make sure you sign up at the Welcome Center, and you can see Joel Ritzma will help you out with any details that you need to know for that. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are, that you are the God who saw the sinfulness of humanity, and you sent your only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world, and that whosoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. And Lord, those promises are so great, because this morning it brings hope to us. You've told us in your word that you change our game of life. We who are often considered pawns in this life, you tell us that you have made us kings and priests unto God. As we look at what it means to be a priest unto God this morning, and the very nature of being a priest, the great joy, the fun part of being a priest, I pray, Lord, that we would be overjoyed in what you have done for us to make us what you want us to be. And so, God, as we spend our time here together, I pray that it'd be profitable. I pray that we would have wonderful time of fellowship, great time of singing and praising your wonderful holy name. And Lord, as we dive into your word, that we would each be challenged, spoken to, and that we would all leave here with more of a spring in our step because of what our God has made us to be. So now to you be all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing All Hail the Power.
blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
Slay, highest praise.
ushers come forward, please.
Father in heaven, we thank you that we live in a place where we can worship so freely. We thank you for this group of people that have gathered here in love, and that we can share this together. Now, Father, we've given a chance to give back to you a small portion that you've given to us. Take these tithes and offerings and use them to your advancement. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by It's nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. I had nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till his glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away. And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid. By his grace, I can say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is not what I suffering of God's Son, I have come by the way. I see millions gathered round the throne from every kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As they cast their crowns down at His feet, this will be their story, this will be their song. We have come by the way of the cross. We have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way, come by the way, by the way of the cross, of the cross, the
choir, and that song fits so well into all of the rest of the music this morning. And I hope that you have come by the way of the cross, and if you haven't this morning, we want to invite you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church, and for everybody that's staying in here, we're going to do our scripture reading actually all together responsively. You'll read the blue, and I will read the other color, whatever the other color is. But before we do that, I don't have a joke this morning. I'm sorry. We were out over the weekend and we saw, there's a new trend where people buy their tights with a whole bunch of holes in them. Okay? And I just thought, wow, we should have been saving all of those tights that we've had through the years. And we'd get rich on eBay, right? And then my kids told me about this thing, and so I looked it up and verified it. For $450 from Neiman Marcus, you can get pre-soiled jeans that are covered in mud and dirt and grit. And when you wash them, it won't come off. And then for $200, you can get used paint clothes. I don't know if they're used, but they look like they're used. They have holes in them and paint all over them. And I thought, Bo and Cole, secondary use for your used up clothes there. Isn't that amazing what people will spend money on? So, next Sunday is the Super Bowl, right? Some of you are like, what? What's the Super Bowl? Yeah, it's this thing that happens. And at the Super Bowl, people are spending thousands of dollars for a ticket to go watch two teams play a game of football. I mean, it's crazy. Not only do they have to do that, they have to, if they are from out of state, they have to travel to Minneapolis, get a hotel room, which the rates are all high right now. They have to travel there. It's amazing what people will spend. And then at the game, they say that about usually at a Super Bowl, that usually 20 to 25% of the crowd came to watch the event. They don't necessarily have a specific rooting interest. But by the end of the game, they'll be on their feet yelling and screaming and cheering. And you say, why? It's because they found something that is exciting, something they have in common with the people sitting around them, and they all cheer for a game. And it makes me think about what we do when we get together. Here's what Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Let's all stand together before we do our readings. Could you put that first one up there? This one's mine to read. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Go ahead and go to the next one. We've got four verses we're going to read responsibly. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Thank you. You may be seated. When he makes us priests unto God. Last week we talked about the hard part. The hard part of being a priest is telling the truth to the world. The hard part of being a priest is helping those who are in need. The fun part, we'll start it. Today will be part A, next week will be part B. The fun part of being a priest, priests were the worship leaders in the temple. The priests were the ones who engaged the people. They did it through various ways, but one of the ways that they would do it was through sacrifice. People would bring an animal to the temple. The priest, one specific priest, his job was to slit the throat of the animal. Another priest, his job was to catch the blood. Another priest, his job was to take the skin off, the fur off. Another job, his priest, was to cut it up into the meat that was acceptable and to put the acceptable meat on the altar and take and throw the parts that were not used for the offering, to throw them away. One priest was to take the stuff that was thrown away. His whole job was to take the bowel and all of the stuff that you don't want to eat and take that away and throw it away. Another priest, his job was to stand and offer prayer at the sacrifice. And then there was a group of priests. Their entire job in the temple was to sing. That's all they did. Sing. Because part of becoming a priest unto God is lifting up the name of God. When it tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that we are made priests unto God, we have a huge advantage over the people of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they went to the temple. Someone else provided a sacrifice. Someone else spoke for them. But in their heart and in their actions, they did bring their praise to God. But there were always others that they had to go to. In the New Testament, when Jesus died on the cross, when he was buried, and when he rose again, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we don't have to go to anybody else. We go straight to God. We don't look at a human to offer sacrifice because God himself gave us the sacrifice. And so now here's what he tells us. He tells us, first of all, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that you are a royal priesthood. You're royal because he makes you kings unto God. You're a priesthood because you can offer yourself, your sacrifices to God directly. In 1 Peter 2, 9, it tells us that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. Part of being made the royal priesthood is that we show his praises. You can show God's praises. You don't need my help to do that. You can do that all and all on your own with God. You can show forth his praises. That's part of what he's done. And why are we praising him? He brought us out of darkness and into light. He took us from our sin and brought us to salvation. In Hebrews 13, 15, the verse that we read responsively, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." This is something that we're expected to do continually to our God, is bring the sacrifices of praise. You can do it through speech. You can do it through song. But we should constantly be offering up those sacrifices of praise. And then in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." So, a tool that the Bible has given us to offer up spiritual sacrifices, one of those tools is song. The song helps us as we lift up those praises to God. Now, worship is showing worth to God, okay? And this is what the spiritual sacrifices are. They're all worship. And that can take place in two different ways. And this will be one of the blanks here in your bulletin. Worship is a lifestyle and an event. Showing worth to God with my life, through my lips, through what I say. It's a lifestyle and it's an event. The Bible gives examples of both kinds of worship. Today I want to focus on the event of worship. Every Sunday when we get together, we participate in the event of worship. Last Saturday, Don Lewis and Terry Graham and my family, we went to a conference, and the whole conference, the whole focus was bringing praise to God. And it was awesome to just sit and to sing and to have an event where someone helped lead us and encourage us in praising and worshiping God. So when we come together, this event it's a pretty big deal. Every Sunday, this is a big deal. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a group of people called the Levites, and they had the job in the temple of leading the people in worship, whether it was through sacrifice, all the things that I talked about. One specific group, their entire job was to sing. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 33, 1 Chronicles 9:33, it says this: "And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night." Some of the Levites had one job in the temple, and their whole job was they worshiped through song. You had some offering sacrifice, others that were cleaning up, some that were killing the animals, some that were sprinkling blood, and some that their entire job was just to sing. Can you imagine the noises of the temple? You show up to the temple and you've got this whole people showing up with animals, all right? I imagine as they're slitting the throats of these animals that there's some noises there, right? Probably not pleasant ones. Probably not the kind that make you go, "Oh, I just love God right now." Probably the kind that make you go, "Oh my goodness, I'm getting a little sick to the stomach." But that was good because it showed the people that there would be a future sacrifice, Jesus, who would die for their sins. That was a form of worship. But I'm really glad that God did that for them then, and he does it for us now, that while all these other noises are taking place, you have some people who are worshiping and song continually. They didn't have any other job in the temple, no other function. The only thing that they did was praise God in song all the time. When Solomon finished building the temple, and they were ready to dedicate it to the Lord, there's a scene that takes place. It takes place in 2 Chronicles 5, verses 12 and 13. Here's what it says. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, Heman, not He-Man, the master of the universe, but Heman, a singer, of Jeduthun, I'm surprised that probably like nobody understood that, huh? All the kids won't get that, He-Man. Okay, a couple of you knew. All right. I know Kevin Powell knows who He-Man is. But you have these singers. Their whole job in the temple is to sing. And here it says, they were clothed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Can you imagine that? In the east end of the altar, you have 120 priests with trumpets. And then you have cymbals. It doesn't tell us how many cymbals. I imagine there were a lot of cymbals. You have psalteries. Psalteries are long-stringed instruments. Okay, not like our guitar, but today probably used much the same way we use the guitar. Then they had harps. And they're playing this music. Verse 13 in 2 Chronicles 5. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. This is so neat. As God is receiving the praise of the people as they dedicate the temple, it's ready to be used in service for the very first time. They have all the singers before they offer the sacrifice, before God brings his presence. What happens first? They praise him. They sing to him. They worship him. And then his presence fills the temple. His glory fills the temple. Nobody can even look in and see in because it's filled with the glory of God. You know what I desire for us here? Is that as we play with the cymbals and the horn and the psalter, when we have the instruments play and as we lift our voices to God, that God fills this place with his glory. Before the message is preached, before any regular activity takes place, that as we praise him, that he would fill this place with his glory. Here's what King David did. He was obviously a worshiper because he wrote many of the Psalms. In fact, he got a start after he was a shepherd. He was a professional musician for Saul to calm Saul's spirit down when Saul got upset. And King David, he wrote this in 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service," and it lists off these different people. Verse 3, "of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Hashabiah, Mathahiah," there's a test on this later, "six under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord." Then it lists off the sons of Heman. And verse 5, it says, "All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God to lift up the horn. And God gave him 14 sons and 3 daughters." So he had this Heman, He was given this awesome task of leading in the praise to God, but it was the words of God he lifted up with the horn. So my kids have done this with several things. They'll try to memorize something. And as they're trying to memorize it, they put it to song. And then all of a sudden, once they put it to song, then they're able to remember it. Because song is a mnemonic device. And that's what Heman's job was. Put things to song so that people could remember and say the words of God. Now, the word say and the word sing, it's the same thing. It's breath filled from the lungs coming out of the mouth. Okay? You can say things with music. You can say them without music. You can sing things with music. You can sing them without music. But the whole emphasis was there was people in the temple, and their whole job put together music so that people could speak the words of God. And to do it through song was a great way. So from these priests in the line of Aaron, called Levites, and from the lineage of the keepers of the sacred in Israel, came the singers and the musicians. And this was a major part of the worship of God. They sacrificed, they taught, they led in giving, but they led in song. And the song had many parts of worship to it. Worship is a lifestyle and an event. And worship shows the worth of the Lord. The worship of song brings worth through a deliberate act of the will. Now, there are so many different instruments that they used in the Old Testament. So then we get to the New Testament. And it doesn't say as much about singing. It does tell us some about singing. In fact, in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's something that we're told as a church to do. And so we do. We speak and we sing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The scriptures give us a whole book in the Bible. In fact, it's the longest book in the Bible. And it's essentially a great big song book. And it's called Psalms. And oftentimes when we read through the Psalms, we try to get the story. I know if you're like me, you try to get the story. Why was this? When was this written? But there's more than just a story behind the Psalms. Sometimes the Psalms are just songs to aid us in praising God. And the Psalms actually have a whole bunch of additions to them that we don't understand very well. For instance, if you take your Bible and you look, and let's all look at Psalm 5 real quick. Turn to Psalm 5. There's part of the inspired writing of Scripture that isn't numbered. And it's the very beginning. It says, to the chief musician upon Nehelath, a psalm of David. And you sit there and you go, Nehelath. What in the world is Nehelath? Here's a lot of translations don't translate those words because they struggled with what they meant. So, next week, not this week, but next week, we're going to dive into some of those words and practice what some of those words mean. Now, this specific one in Psalm 5, Nehelath means a flute. This song was written to be played with a flute. So how cool would that be to be able to sing this song the way that was originally intended with a flute? So we're going to have a little fun with that next week. But another word that's in there is in Psalm 60. It tells us it's upon Shushana Duth. Okay? And I'm going to ask my daughter, Kayla, to come on up here. And she's going to help us understand how this psalm, Psalm 60 and Psalm 80, Okay, in English, they gave us two different English words. They're both the exact same Hebrew word. She's going to play for us because that word, Shushanadeth, it means a trumpet or a horn calling to assemble. All right? So, Kayla, give us a horn calling to assemble. And so when the people heard that, they knew it's time to worship. When the people heard that, they knew it's time to get together. And so there was a whole psalm that was written with the words to be sung under that horn playing out. And the horn continually invited people to come to assemble. And while it invited them to come to assemble, they would begin singing the words of the psalm, Psalm 60 and Psalm 80, underneath this call. Isn't that pretty cool? Doesn't that make a whole lot more sense than reading it and going, Shushanadeth, who is that? But to understand that it means it's a horn that is calling to assemble. That's probably the melody or the tune that the people would have understood that. And so it was a cue to all the, could you imagine 120 Kayla's right there playing that? How amazing that would be. See, here's what God does. God gives us music to bring us to Him. To bring the words of our mouth to a place where they can express to Him what we may ordinarily find trouble saying. Sometimes we muddle through words, right? Anybody, when you pray, you ever kind of find yourself repeating the same type of thing over and over? Maybe sometimes as you pray and you talk to God, you try to praise Him, maybe you have trouble coming up with original content. You know what songs are given to us for? To give us words to say. To help us have something that we can bring to Him. I want to give you an example of how God has used song in my life. Because He's the game changer, right? When He changes your life, you now have something to live for. You have someone to bring praise to. And when He becomes your game changer, there's so much in your life that should be different. That now it's almost like you've got something inside and you've got to let it out. So, 2 years ago, during March Madness, we went to eat at a restaurant on Stadium. Can't remember which one. Anyway, they had Michigan was playing in the tournament, the NCAA tournament, and we weren't by the TV, but we knew when Michigan scored because the whole place erupted. And we knew when the other team scored because there'd be a whole bunch of people upset. What that game did is it gave everybody something common to celebrate. And they all did so spontaneously as it happened. Now, when we get together, we've had a whole week of life, right? A whole week of good and bad. And now we're coming together to focus in. And as we sing, it's not preparation for the message. We're singing so we can just praise God. And so it can take us and give us something that is common, just like when Michigan made a basket and the whole place erupted, something that was common for us to celebrate about our Lord. Today, we focused in with our singing on the name of Jesus. Great, that great name, Redeemer, my Savior. And it gave us something common that we could build in song together and sing together, because it brings our hearts, unites our hearts together with each other, but also with him. Now, this didn't happen here, so don't start looking around going, "Ooh, I wonder who did this." But for 9 years, I pastored at a church where worship was something that was painfully tumultuous. Every week, somebody would complain. Here's our instruments that we had: a piano, an organ, a flute, and a violin. And every week, I would have people that just, they light me up. And then we added a guitar, and it was like we dropped a nuclear bomb. And you know what was happening? There was no praise of God. There was a whole bunch of praise of self. There was a whole bunch of thoughts about me and what I like. And it was such an oppressive time. So here's what God gave me. There's a song, it's called "I Am Free." Okay? And in this song, I am free to live for you, God, is basically in the chorus. I'm free to run, I'm free to dance, I'm free to live for you, I am free. And so, every Sunday before I'd go to church, my kids remember this a little bit, I would put that in the CD player. We still ran CDs back then. And I would blare it just to get my heart ready to say, "God, I'm showing up to church for you, to bring praise to you. And I am free, Lord, in you." And God used that song so powerfully for about 6 years. Every week to show up and say, "All right, I'm ready to praise my Lord." And it didn't matter what anybody else was doing. And I'll tell you what has been fun about coming to 12th Street is I don't ever have to turn that song on before Sunday morning service to be reminded that I am free. You know that? Because here's what this is all about. When we sing, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about which instrument. It's not about who gets to sing what. It's not about who gets to play what. It's the fact that we are coming together underneath the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who gave himself for us, who died in our place, so that we who are dead to sin should not have to live in sin anymore, but we could live unto the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he has made it so that we can come together and be unified in that. And so when we sing, we are just lifting him up, because he is great. He's not only great, but he is greatly to be praised. And part of being made a priest unto God in your daily life, people probably think I'm nuts when I'm driving around by myself because I'm singing at the top of my lungs. Because it's a lifestyle. You know, when we meet here together, this is the culmination. You read your Bible throughout the week. You witness to people throughout the week. You go through struggles. You go through victories. And when we get together, you know what? It's just like, whew, we're here. And there is an event that takes place every single week that we get to be part of, that we can enjoy in. And if we just check ourselves and lift up our Lord, he is wonderful. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he has not made you a priest unto him. You don't have to like singing to like praising God. You don't have to like singing to be a priest unto God. To be honest, there are times we'll get to a point in a song where I can't hit some of the notes. And you know what I do? I'll stop. And I'll listen. And I worship just as much then as when I'm belting it out. And probably everybody around me worships a whole lot more when I get quiet than when I'm belting it out. 12th Street, we want to become game changers in our worship. It would be so wonderful if when the first note is played, the first stanza is sung, that the glory of God fills this place. Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. Beyond just saving us from sin and giving us heaven as a promise, Lord, you also have given us tools to make this life in faith enjoyable. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn how to enjoy that faith. I pray that we would learn how to express that worship. So, Lord, as we close out this service, if there's anybody here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the boldness to just come down to the front of the church and just shake my hand and tell me that they want to trust you. And Lord, this morning, you can make them a king and a priest unto God. Lord, I pray for all those who know you as Lord and Savior. Teach us, Lord, how to lift up our Savior. Teach us how to set aside ourselves. Teach us, Lord, what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, as we close out this service, you are a king that is worth getting excited about. Help us, God, to be excited about who you are more than any game we ever watch, more than any other event we ever attend. But Lord, help us just to appreciate you, because you are good and you never let us down. Let's stand together as we sing this song in closing.
Never gonna let me down.
Sandy Deepy, Deepy, and Terry Seitzma have come forward to join the church. They spent 12 weeks in 12 Things About 12th Street, and they agree with our doctrinal statement. They've both been saved and baptized, and so they've come to join our church. And so if I could have a motion to receive Sandy and Terry into membership, I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And Terry and Sandy, if you could go to the back so we could extend the right hand of fellowship to you, we'd appreciate that. All right. Let's close with the word of prayer. Yep. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are good. And the songs that we sing, the praise from our lips, the sacrifices that come through our mouths, Lord, every single one of them, it's worth saying, because you are always good. And I thank you, Lord, that even when we don't feel you around, you never let us down, that you're the God who is ever present, always there. And I thank you, God, for as we sing, blessed be your name when the sun's shining, but we also say, blessed be the name of the Lord when things are difficult. And so, God, as we contemplate what it means to be a priest unto you, I pray that we would be worshipers with our mouths, worshipers with our lives. Thank you for this event that we could have today to worship you. And so to you be all the glory and praise. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and dominion and power both now and for all ages, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed.